Grace be to you from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of His Spirit who reigns within us. Amen. This morning I'd like to also share the Old Testament lesson, which is the text with you, from what is called the Message, a paraphrase in our day that puts this into our words. Hey there, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway, buy and eat. Come, buy your drinks, buy wine and milk. Buy without money, everything's free. Why do you spend your money on junk food? Your hard-earned cash on cotton candy? Listen to me. Listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with only the finest. Pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I'm making a lasting covenant commitment with you, the same that I made with David. Sure, solid, enduring love. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. These have been, the last few weeks, some rather hot and dry days, have they not? This spring we wondered if it would ever quit raining, even into the early summer. My basement sump pumps were going like crazy. But now the dry days of summer have set in. But, you know, it doesn't really take long, even after the spring and early summer rains, it doesn't take long for the ground to get thirsty, does it? It doesn't take long for you or me to get thirsty either. In today's gospel, Jesus taught some people who got hungry and thirsty by the end of the day. And if you notice, even though he had already provided the food for their souls, he also wanted to provide food and thirst and drink for their bodies. So let's listen closely today, because we have his invitation. It came to us through the prophet Isaiah, but it also comes to us through the gospel writer John in chapter 7. We'll be hearing those verses in a minute. It also comes to us in the closing verses of Scripture, in the book of Revelation, where we are called to come to drink of the waters that God provides. It's really kind of an invitation that doesn't make a lot of sense. When we heard it from the NIV, where I read it from the lectern, it may not have made sense at all. It even in the paraphrase, which I wanted you to listen to, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Come and purchase, but what you're purchasing is free. It's free, so why do I need to purchase it, we might ask. But most of all, it's the realization that we just don't have what it costs. There's just no way that we can purchase a relationship with our Creator and Provider. There is no way that we can purchase a good, gentle, soaking rain this week. If we could, we'd pool our resources and go out and do that, wouldn't we? You see, there's many things for which we need to depend upon God, and that's the way He designed it, so that we would realize who was God and who is the creature. Thirst is something that keeps occurring in our lives over and over. Aren't we tired of that which does not fulfill our thirsts? As individuals and as a congregation together today, let's go to the well, because the well, as you will see in the end, is the source of all that satisfies our thirst. Now, I'm sure you're probably acquainted with physical thirst. Your body, according to some biology teachers, is 80% fluid. That means a man my size is lugging around about 220 pounds of water this morning. Apart from the brains and the bones and a few organs, I think we're just walking water balloons. But let's stop drinking the water and see what happens. Our coherent thoughts would vanish. Our skin would grow clammy. Vital organs would wrinkle up like a prune. Your eyes need fluid in order to cry. Your mouth needs moisture in order to swallow. Your glands need sweat to keep the body cool. Your cells need blood to carry them. Your joints need fluid to lubricate them. In fact, your Maker wired you with thirst as a low fluid indicator. You've had it before, I'm sure. Dry mouth, maybe a thick tongue, achy head, weak knees. Deprive your body of water, and your body will tell you about it. Deprive your soul of spiritual water, and your soul will tell you about it. For there the Creator has also provided us some thirst indicators. You see, dehydrated hearts send desperate messages. Snarling tempers, waves of worry, growing monsters within of guilt and fear. You think God wants you to live with thoughts and feelings like that? Hopelessness, sleeplessness, loneliness, resentment, irritability, insecurity. These are all warnings. They're symptoms of a dryness that is deep within us. That's how it was for a young man named Jason. Let me tell you Jason's story. The staff at LHS Family and Youth Services first met Jason in a locked psychiatric treatment facility. Jason was angry. He had multiple mental health diagnoses, and he was even involved in the juvenile justice system for unruliness. Jason had always struggled with school, could not concentrate on his studies. He became easily discouraged. At home, he had struggled to follow the rules and sometimes became physically aggressive. The future looked bleak, and Jason had actually given up on himself, on his family, and even on life itself. When Jason arrived at the LHS Mommy Youth Center, he was fearful. He destroyed property, and he attempted to assault a staff member. It appeared to Jason that he simply traded one treatment facility for another, and discouragement began to turn to despair. Against all odds, the staff at LHS Family and Youth Services did not give up on Jason. They don't give up on anybody in our care. The child and the youth care professionals working with Jason had a vision that for him that included Jason getting better, becoming less combative, learning how to deal with discouragement, getting good grades, and even going home. Soon Jason had the same vision for himself and was willing to work at making meaningful changes in his life. Through individual therapy, group therapy, the guidance from diligent staff, as well as a school program directed to his needs, Jason started to become the person that he envisioned. He learned to cope appropriately with his anger. He followed rules. He did not allow setbacks at school to discourage him. He found a job detailing cars and participated in high school athletics. Jason and his parents learned to communicate more effectively through the help of our Partners in Treatment program, a program that LHS Family and Youth Services uses to help bring families together. Soon Jason was visiting home, and before long, he was back home again, living at home. Oh, I'm sure he still gets discouraged sometimes, and his anger almost gets the best of him some days. But he is living the skills that he learned from the Christian professionals at LHS Family and Youth Services who held out to Him the hope that our God gives us these blessings of forgiveness and encouragement out of His grace. On the day he left care and treatment, Jason expressed his gratitude to the staff in this way. He said, "Thank you for showing me the way home." That's really what God is trying to do with you and me when He provides for our thirsts and our hungers of the soul. He's trying to show us that He is the Father and the Provider, and that we are on the way home with Him. The way it's phrased in Isaiah's prophecy today is He's going to bring us under the covenant that He established with David and his descendants forever. The covenant fulfilled by the Son of David, Jesus Christ our Lord, when He died upon the cross and when He arose from the dead. He wants to bring us under that covenant promise of forgiveness and the faith and the love and the compassion to cope with every one of our difficulties. Perhaps you've never seen your difficulties as symptoms of thirst. You've considered them to be more like speed bumps, just part of the journey. Well, anxiety, you might say, just runs in our family. That's why I'm anxious. Or, yeah, I'm just like my mom or like my dad, moody and worrying all the time. Everyone has gloomy or blue days, don't they? We just wonder if such emotions they're inevitable, aren't they? Well, yes, they are. But do we also wonder if they are unquenchable? That is, that we cannot slake or satisfy that thirst that they indicate. And the answer to that from the Lord's Word is, no way. They are not unquenchable. View the pains of your heart not as struggles to endure, but as an inner thirst that needs to be quenched. Proof that something within you is starting to shrivel and is crying out for a good drink of God's Word and a full measure of God the Holy Spirit. Treat your soul as you treat your thirst. Flood your heart with a good drink of God's H2O. Where do you find such water for the soul? Remember the woman that came to the well to draw water in the middle of the day that's recorded in John's Gospel? Come to the well of God's love, the well of God's forgiveness. One October day in Jerusalem, people packed the streets for an annual reenactment of the rock-giving water miracle of Moses. In honor of their nomadic ancestors, they slept in tents for this particular festival. Was sometimes called the Festival of Unleavened Bread. And Jesus was there as recorded in John chapter 7. In tribute to the desert stream, they poured out water. Each morning the priest filled a golden pitcher with water from the Gihon spring and he carried it down a people-lined path to the temple. And he was announced by trumpets. The priest encircled the altar with a flow of water from that he had brought there. And on the last day, the great day of the feast, the priest gave the altar what some called the Jericho loop, 7 times around the altar, doing it with 7 vessels of water. The number 7 referring to completeness, completely showing God's blessing. It may have been at this very moment that rustic rabbi from Galilee commanded the people to pay attention. On the last day, the great day of the feast, John wrote in chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." finely frocked priests turned and looked. Surprised people also got their attention. Wide-eyed children and toothless grandparents alike paused. They knew this man. Some had heard him preach in the Hebrew hills. Others had heard him teach in the city streets. 2.5 years had passed since he had emerged from the Jordan waters at his baptism. But they seldom had seen him this intense. John says, he stood and shouted. Those two verbs are significant. The traditional rabbinic teaching posture was sitting and speaking quietly and measuredly the truths. But here, Jesus stood up and he shouted. The blind man shouted, appealing for sight, according to Matthew in Mark 10. The sinking Peter shouted, begging for help, as we will hear in next week's gospel lesson. The demon-possessed man shouted, pleading for mercy in Mark chapter 5. John uses this same Greek verb to portray the volume of Jesus' voice. Forget a kind of clearing the throat. God was pounding his gavel on heaven's bench. Jesus was demanding attention. Listen, he was saying, if any of you thirst, come to me and drink. He shouted because his time was short. In 6 months, he'd be dragging his cross through these same streets. And the people thirsted. Jesus invited, are your insides starting to shrivel? Then drink me. Just as he said to the woman at the well, when he said, I who speak to you am he. Like water, Jesus goes where we can't. Throw a person against a wall and his body thumps and drops. Throw water against a wall and the liquid conforms and spreads across the wall. Its molecular makeup grants water flexibility. One moment separating and seeping into every crack, and the next time thundering over Niagara Falls, water goes where we can't. And so does Jesus. By the power of His Holy Spirit, Jesus dwells in everyone who believes in Him, according to John 7, verse 39. The Spirit of God flows down the throat of your soul, flushing out your fears, dredging and dislodging your regrets, and bringing to your remembrance all the good promises that Jesus teaches us in His Word. And we do not even have to give Him directions. We give no water to directions, do we? Before drinking a glass of water, do we say, now I think I need about 10 drops of you to go down to my spleen and about 15 drops down to my toenails because they've been pretty dry lately. And by the way, the rest of you, just head on down to, well, better yet, head up to my scalp because it's been dry and itchy all day. Well, it'd be silly to talk to a glass of water that way. Water somehow knows just where it needs to go when it goes into our bodies. Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. He comes to establish a covenant relationship between you and the eternal God. He knows where to come into our souls and to meet us at those points of thirst and to satisfy that thirst for that which makes a difference in our lives. Your directions are not needed, but your permission may be. Like water, Jesus doesn't come unless it's swallowed. That is, we must surrender to His Lordship. It's all through Paul's epistles, to yield yourselves as living vessels and serve the Lord. In John chapter 7, Jesus promises living water to those who believe in Him, who will trust in Him. By grace, He has worked faith in our hearts to believe. And He is a gentleman. He will not force His way into our souls. The place where your decisions are made. The place where your feelings are felt. The place where your thoughts are thought. He wants you to drink deeply of Him each day. Each day to come to His Word and read and learn from it who He is and what He is teaching you for your life. He wants to meet every need of your life, of your thoughts, your feelings, and your decisions. Don't you need a drink? Don't you long to flush out fear and anxiety and guilt? You can. Know the audience of Jesus' invitation. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Note the audience of Isaiah's prophecy. Come to the Lord, whoever you are. You don't have to have the price. You don't have to have the holiness to receive from Him what He has to give. All ages are welcome. Both men and women, boys and girls are invited. No race is excluded. Scoundrels, scamps, and rascals are all welcome. You don't have to be rich to drink. The water is free. You don't have to be religious to drink. The water is not liturgical. You don't have to be successful to drink. You can't earn it anyway. You simply need to drink of Jesus each day. Let Him penetrate your heart deep, deep inside. Internalize Him. Ingest Him. Welcome into the inner workings of your life. Let Jesus be the water for your soul. How is this done? Begin by heeding your thirst. Don't dismiss loneliness. Don't deny your anger, your restless spirit, your churning stomach, dread of facing the facts of life. All are indicators of your soul saying, we could use a little moisture down here. Don't let your heart shrink like a raisin. For the sake of those who need your love, heed your thirst. You who are thirsty, come to me. And when you do, drink good water. Don't gulp dirt or swallow rocks. You don't want plastic or pepper in your cup, do you? Mercy, no. When it comes to thirst in the body, we've learned to reach for the right stuff, those bottles of pure water. Note that the setting in which Jesus speaks this, He was saying it to religious people at a religious festival. He's addressing churchgoers, literally at a religious revival. This day was a church highlight, like Easter and Christmas to the Jewish people. Religious symbols were laid out like a yard sale. There was the temple and the altar and the trumpets and the priestly robes. Well, He could have pointed to any one of those religious items as a source of drink, but He doesn't. These are merely symbols that point to Him. Just look up here in front of you. Is it the candles that calm your anxiety? Do you need a good organ or piano music to inspire your faith and work so that when the music isn't good, at least in your opinion, then you'd have an excuse for not doing God's work? Is it the cross that hangs on the wall or the colors of the pyramids that assure you that your sins are forgiven? No. No to all of these questions. All of these point us to Jesus. And Jesus points us to Himself. You see, religion pacifies, but it never satisfies. Church activities might hide thirst for a time, but only Jesus quenches our thirst. And so we come to Him and drink of Him often. Toward this end, let me close with a little tool that you can perhaps take into your week. It's a prayer for a thirsty heart. Carry it like you might carry a water bottle with you. The prayer outlines four essential fluids for your thirst. God's work, God's energy, God's lordship, and God's love. They just happen to spell the word well. God's work, W, God's energy, E, God's lordship, L, God's love, L. And the well prayer goes something like this. Lord, I come thirsty. I come to drink, to receive. I receive your work on the cross and in your resurrection, that you died and arose again for me, so that my sins are pardoned and my death is defeated. I receive your energy. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I receive your lordship into my life. I belong to you. Nothing comes to me that hasn't passed through you. And I want to obey and follow your word. I receive your love. Nothing can separate me from your love. And I am so thankful that you loved me first, so that I may in turn love others as you have first loved me. Lord, I thank you for your work, for your energy, for your lordship, and for your love. May it bless me today as I serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the, please rise. Now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds firm in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.